Right now, we need a visitation from God. There isn't a leader that can fix what we're facing. I'm all into voting in righteous leadership, people who fear God. I'm all over that. But we need something between elections. We need a visitation from God. We do. And it comes from a people that will get low. Pray authentically. Wow. I feel like I just went to heaven and back. Didn't want to come back. Maybe we didn't. Yeah, we're still there. That's right. Oh, goodness. Wow. There's someone here who struggles with fibromyalgia, and Jesus is going to heal tonight. Who is that? Who struggles with that issue? Right over here? Okay. We got three together. Whenever there's a specific problem and they're sitting close to each other, that's an unusual coincidence, which is the language of the Spirit, which shows that he's breathing on something. And it always encourages me because, it's not a support group. But there's three right together with that problem. So Jesus is going to deliver. In fact, we just saw this last week in Charlotte, a week and a half, whatever ago. I've been gone forever, it seems like. Not in Charlotte. In Bradford, England. They're close to each other. There's a little pond called the Atlantic Ocean that separates the two. Yeah. All right, so geography wasn't my strong point. In Bradford, there was a woman that I believe had been in a wheelchair for 10 years with fibromyalgia and ME. And she was up, completely healed, completely set free. So I believe the Lord is doing that again tonight. Who here has ever broken your jaw and you have ongoing problems because of that? Who is that? Put your hand up high. I don't want to miss. Right back here. All right. Jesus is doing a good healing work there as well. There are inflamed, swollen gums and possible gum disease involved that I believe Jesus is healing tonight. Right there. Okay. There's someone here who, I think it was a break in the right ankle that just didn't heal correctly. And so you've got, there's weakness and pain. And it's in that right ankle. Who is that? We've seen two together. That's awesome. It's the Broken Ankle Club right back here. Yeah. And I love that. All right. And if you're not with those two, you can still get healed. You still have permission. All right. The Lord's healing. There's actually some, I can feel it. There's like tendon or ligament damage. I don't know the difference, so forgive me. But it's right here on the top of the foot. There's some issues there with that pain thing. Is that you? Is that you? Yeah, stand up. Check it out. It should be all right. Check it out right now. Yeah, just move it around. Yeah. Just move it around real good. Check it out. Yeah. Okay, tell me how it's doing. Yeah. Is it good? All right. Did you check it out? Is it good? Is it good? Yeah. Good. Come on. All right. Beautiful. Yeah. That's so cool. Thank you, Lord. You have any, Brian? Yeah, just grab a mic here. We got mics somewhere. Oh, they're up here with me. All right. Any of you guys that have any words of knowledge?
Yeah, while he was, while the Lord was speaking to him, I was hearing I don't know how to describe it. I'll do the best I can. Like your hip is, I don't want to say deformed, like misaligned, like maybe the socket where the leg comes into the socket. There are two different sizes.
Yeah. Does that make sense to anybody? Is that you back there? Yeah? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
So I can see the Lord just completely reforming your hip.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Can you feel, does it affect you right now or what?
Okay, we have one here and then one way in the back there as well. Okay.
What's that?
Yeah.
When you're trying to
mostly
sleep.
At night
so
when you
yeah,
sleep,
man,
yeah.
just all right. sleep well tonight.
Well, you could sleep while I talk tonight. We could check it out at the end of the message. See how you do. Yeah. Many have fallen asleep when I've talked, so.
And just along the right side, it's like a cracked femur.
All right.
Still cry. I see somebody nodding their head.
Does that make sense? Just wave your hand if that's you. We want to. I hear voices. Maybe I have issues. Oh, there's overflow as well. Okay.
Yeah, somebody
anyone in overflow, just make sure you get in on this. Yeah, all right.
So, anybody else got here?
Okay. Yep, go ahead.
I believe God wants to heal a pleurisy, so it's like a water on the lung, and hand in hand with that, just reoccurring bronchitis, where to the degree that you've actually, from reoccurring coughing, you've cracked your ribs.
Does that make sense to anyone? Put your hand up. If that's you, we want to make sure you get healed. Maybe we can have somebody run interference for me in the overflow. Just Joel, why don't you go over and somebody go over and just check
sure.
it out.
Sure. So any of those three things, so reoccurring bronchitis, a pleurisy, which is like a lining on the lung of water or extra fluid, it's impacting your breathing.
Okay. All right.
And then any persistent coughing that has caused any ribs to crack.
All right. Right. For reoccurring for 6 months. All right. All right. Tonight's the night it ends. All right. All right. Yep. Yep. All right. Beautiful. All right. There's a number of folks that have issues with their voice, their vocal cords. I don't know if it's nodules. Don't know what it is, but there's a number of folks with issues that sound like it got healed. Okay. So, all right, so that the condition you call that was in the overflow. All right, good. All right. So the vocal cord, the voice issue, put your hand up quick. All right. Wow, that's a whole bunch. All right. We just had somebody, their tongue was healed. They weren't able to taste food, which is absolutely the worst thing ever. And so the Lord's going to restore taste. We just had that healed in London, I think it was. No ability to taste, and the Lord just healed, restored that. So who's that? Has an issue with right here? Okay, all right. So whoever prays for her, make sure you have a mint or something ready. I'm serious, because we want to check it out right away. There's also, or chocolate. Chocolate would be better. Mints will do. Mints will do. Yeah. All right. There's also digestive issues, food allergies. There's a lot of things we can pray for, but there's certain things that just stand out to me right now. So if you have any kind of food allergy, oh my goodness gracious, all right. So you notice tongue, taste, food allergy. We're going after the big things right now, the important things. I believe the Lord is going to heal. In fact, there's somebody who has digestive issues, and it has caused other diseases, other problems in your organs. I don't know what it is, but it's the one digestive issue has caused a domino effect. Does that make sense to you? Because I just heard that as we were talking. All right, there's several. All right. There's also hearing loss. Anyone with hearing loss, put your hand up. We'll go for that. Okay. Anybody here with cancer? We always right here. Okay. Anyone else? All right, cancer. Fingers? Fingers and toes? Okay. So there's somebody has an issue under the tongue. Who's that? Put a hand up real quick. Right there. All right. And there's a problem. Is it broken? You've broken fingers. You have issues with your hand, with your fingers. If that's you, put a hand up quickly. All right. We've had many times where the Lord literally has reset bones in just a moment of time. In fact, we had a guy right back here that was run over by a 14-ton truck, crushed his ankle years ago. And so it was put back together, but there was pain, very restricted movement. Somebody prayed for him. His ankle turned cool and then popped, and it was completely healed. So, strange thing. Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. So, all right. So, fingers and also toes, did you say? Brian, the toes?
Same
thing. All right. So, who had the frequent broken toes or issues with the toes? Put your hands up. Might as well get in on this. All right. Everyone who raised your hand over any of these things, stand. Beautiful. Not beautiful, you have the problem. Beautiful, you're about to get rid of the problem. All right. Here's what I need you to do, those of you that are sitting down. You are now the prayer team. And so I need all of you that are standing, put a hand up. I want you to keep it up till someone comes to you. As soon as somebody comes to you, put your hand down. So those of you that are seated, find someone. Husbands and wives, you don't have to pray for each other. I want you to have fresh meat. You've already prayed for each other. All right, but don't start yet. Shh, we still have hands up. Okay, don't start yet, we still have hands up. Okay, we've got somebody, we've got two right down here in front of me. We have a third one right back here. We have one right over here to my left. The Lord gave some of you two hands for a reason. So that you could take on two people. He's the one who does the healing anyway, so it's not you. All right, I think if we missed you, wave a hand at me and I'll make sure to get somebody to you. All right, here's what I need you to do. You've got to find out what the problem is. Those of you that are receiving healing prayer, keep it simple. They don't need a description of the accident. They just need a target, all right? Those of you that are doing the praying, lay your hands on them and just pray your best prayer, but speak to the problem. Command it, God. Let me pray over you, all right? So, Holy Spirit, we do welcome you. I ask that you come and glorify the name Jesus through miracles, through signs, through wonders. Ears open now in Jesus' name. We command ears to open. Digestive system be restored to God's perfect design in Jesus' name. The obstruction of voice, right now we just pray that healing oil of Jesus, the oil of Jesus to flow down that throat, fully restore everything that's been compromised in the name of the Lord Jesus. We speak to the bones, broken bones, be reset now. The trauma to that jaw. There's trauma involved in that breaking of the jaw. I just rebuke trauma right now in Jesus' name. Release you from that and declare the healing word of Jesus. The healing word of Jesus. Yeah, we speak to the hip joint. Be fully recreated now in the name of the Lord. Fully restored now in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, you've got about 30 more seconds. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead and end your prayer, but stay with the person. Don't leave them. End your prayer. Go ahead and say amen. But stay with the person. Shh. Okay, just give me your attention. You can stop your prayer now. Please have them stop. Thank you. You can pray past the miracle. I'm serious. You can pray past the miracle. Back up. All right. All of you that receive prayer right now, just try to do something you couldn't do. If it was a muscle tendon issue, move around. If it was digestive, I don't know, eat something, I guess. I don't know. Come on. All right. In some way, try to do what you couldn't do. If you had a growth, a tumor, try to feel it. If there's hearing loss, have somebody whisper. In some way, examine yourself. Everyone who's at least 80% better, would you wave both hands over your head like this right now? Just wave both hands over your head. Yeah, we bless you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right. Turn and pray one more time. Turn and pray again. If they're 100%, you don't have to pray because you might mess them up. But other than that, I want you to pray one more time. And just bless them. Just release that presence, that power of God. Restore fully in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, you got about 30 seconds. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead and end your prayer if you would. Now I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Just look up this direction here if you would. We'll be through with this in just a moment. Now, it wouldn't hurt for everyone to say this, but especially those who just received prayer. The reason we pray for the sick is we want Jesus to get what he paid for. When we experience something, if we experience suffering, he takes it personal. Do you remember when he appeared before Saul when he was persecuting the church? And he said, "Why do you persecute me?" He takes it personal. When you're blessed, he takes it personal. He is blessed in your blessing. So I want everybody in the room that was prayed for especially, I want you just to say this after me. I receive the healing that Jesus bought for me. Now let's make that confession together. I receive the healing that Jesus bought for me. Ooh. That was good. Still is. All right, check yourself out. Everyone who's at least 80% better, I want you to wave your hands over your head like this. Just take a look around your church. Somebody give thanks. Bless you, Lord. Wonderful. Okay, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. We're going to open the word here in just a moment. I would love to hear what Jesus did. How come you were so excited back over here? What happened to you?
I don't know what I did to my hip, but I'm a runner, and it bothers me when I run.
Okay, well, just wait a second. Let's get a microphone over here. Yeah, help me out. Just go over there. Yeah. I'm going to make you do the running. I love when other people have to do the work. What happened?
I don't know how I hurt my hip, but I'm a runner, and it's been aggravating and bothering me when I'm running. It wakes me up in pain in the night when I sit, and then I go to stand up. It was just, yeah. It was locked up and painful, and I just have complete freedom. I
Come
can
on.
Move it. It's not
beautiful. It's not, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I would love to hear from maybe two other people just to give testimony. Everything that Jesus does is significant, but if you had the Lord do something pretty extraordinary in your body, I want you to let us know. Yeah, right back over here, we have one. Yeah. Just come out to the aisle. Hang on to the mic. That mic's $1 million right there. It's hanging on hold.
Yeah, so when you were talking about the hand and fingers, I broke my hand, and it affects me whenever I play the keys and stuff. And I actually had calcification on my hands from the break, and it's completely gone.
That's so good. Come on. Wow. So one other person that would be willing to share, it's just, yeah, go ahead, right here, it's a good one.
My healing was for loss of hearing, you know, I'm 72, and it's done. I was happy after I knew it happened, and I clapped my hands and it hurt.
You know? That's awesome. Thank you. All right, that's beautiful. Everyone that got healed tonight, just stand up. I want to see who you are. Look around the room. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah.
The guy with the cracked femur, he's sitting next to the guy with the crooked hip.
Yeah. That's awesome. Just where's the mic and just give the story and then we'll move on. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian, explain what happened here. The Lord is still healing somebody, I'm sorry, with that right hip. There's still somebody who has a issue in the joint, not in the hip area, specifically the joint. Who's that? Yeah. If that's you, stand up. Put your hand on it. Yeah. You, right here too. Anyone, just stand up and just stand there with your hand on it. I'm declaring to you, Jesus heals, restores. There's also someone who has an injury to the Achilles tendon on the right leg. That Achilles tendon has been damaged. It's torn, or maybe it was injured years ago, never fully restored. All right. Well, just pretend I'm dyslexic and take it. Yeah. All right. There's also somebody who has an injury. My goodness, this is now spreading. It's there's pain, a fair amount of pain in the tissue on the left knee, right under the kneecap, right in this area here. Is that you? All right. You have stitches there. That's why it's tender. Okay. All right. So put your hand on it. Yep. All right. Yeah. Oh, so the right one got healed. Now you're going for the left. That works. All right. All right. Now just give testimony. And you guys just stand there with your hand on the problem, and let's just go for it.
Yeah, so I went and prayed and laid hands on the gentleman with the misaligned hip socket. And then this guy who's sitting next to or a couple chairs down from him said, yeah, I'm the one with the cracked femur. And he's got a steel plate in his leg. And I asked him how that works out, you know, and he said one leg's longer than the other and it makes his hip really sore. And so we just came over here and sat.
So how is it now?
I don't really have pain, so I can't test it, but my right leg was like a half inch longer.
Yeah.
So I put my hips up against the wall to check that, and he said my legs are even, so I couldn't see a difference. He couldn't see a difference. So it's been that way for like 15 years, man.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Thank you. All right, all of you standing, check yourself right now. Just check yourself out. All of you standing, just check yourself. Do something. Just do something. Yeah. All right. Is there any improvement for anyone who's standing? Just wave your hand at me if there is. Way in the back over here. Right down here. Right over here. All right. Anybody else? Right here. Yep. Right here's another. Another. All right. It's contagious. Another one over here. All right. Thank you. Another one right here. All right, who's that Achilles on the right leg? Yeah, is that you over here? How is it? It's the same. Somebody lay hands on it. Because I want it to stop bothering me. I can feel it, actually. Yeah. All right. Yeah, just all of you, just lay hands on whoever you're standing close to and just pray for that miracle to be completed there. And then we'll move on. Yeah. just declare, we just release the presence, the power of the Lord Jesus over these bodies. We declare Jesus is the one who restores all. Thank you, Lord. He makes all things new. So just confess that with me once again. I receive the healing that Jesus bought for me. Let's say it all together. I receive the healing that Jesus bought for me. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I just returned this week, late Thursday night from, I was actually gone 16 days, which I don't go that long anymore. I used to, but I don't like to be gone that long. But I went to Charlotte to be with Mahesh and Bonnie Shabda, wonderful friends of ours, and then went to London and did the Hillsong gathering there in London, a little tiny home group of about 20,000 people. And, that would be a Reinhardt Bonnke home group, you know. So, I had such a wonderful time, and I'm so impressed with Hillsong. So impressed with the integrity of the people, the strength of the ministry, their focus, their priority, and they are really in this season, amping up their risk and appetite for miracles and breakthrough. And oh goodness, it's hard to say how many. Because you can't manage a meeting with 20,000 people in direct traffic at all. You just give words of knowledge and we pray. But someone told me, they asked me, at least there's 1,000 or so people healed in that, just in maybe a 10-minute slot, literally a 10-minute slot. And some pretty extraordinary things took place, including metal in the back and all kinds of stuff just was completely healed. And went from there to Bradford, England, and was there in a leadership gathering, about 1,400 people. And the last night, we had this gal in a wheelchair. She's up and besides herself with joy because of being so afflicted for so many years, and it was just completely gone. We had a guy there that broke his arm, had a metal plate in his arm from kickboxing. And the metal plate, if you were at the Civic here, I think it was two years ago, when Randy Clark prayed for this, was it a gal? It was a gal who had a metal, it stuck out about an inch or so from her bone. And this is the same thing with this guy. And they prayed and prayed for him, and nothing happened. And finally, they felt they needed to ask him to forgive himself. When he forgave himself, it just dissolved. Just this thing is sticking out this far, just literally just dissolved. Michael, my assistant, a medical doctor from Australia, and so he's over there checking. He says, I can't find any metal anywhere. And there was this gal that got hit with this virus that caused her to go blind enough to where she couldn't read. And she had been to the doctor the previous week, and there would be no further improvement at all. She could, I guess, see shape and color or light, but couldn't read anything at all. And they prayed for her eyes. She's reading the fine print on Michael's phone. So there's a gal there with hunched over a large lump on her back, hunched with the kind of crutches that hook up to you that you struggle to walk with. And that big lump on her back completely disappeared. She's standing upright, got rid of the crutches, and walking. So it was just so cool. So thrilled to see what's happening in Europe. Come on, Jesus. Europe. How many of you are from Europe? Man, this is Europe's time, I'm telling you. It is what's going on there. We dreamt about years ago, and it's happening actually right now. It's unfolding. And so very encouraged. All right. We've already gone for a while, but I still have a while to go. So if you get through before I do, just go home. Here's what I want to do. I'm really torn because I started sensing some things during worship, but let's go to the book of Jonah. When in doubt, go to Jonah. Now, Joan, that's what I talked about at the Cascade this morning. And I want to do that again. I'm going to try to abbreviate this. I want to respect the time, but I also want to I want to hit a subject here pretty hard if I can, in shorter than normal. Don't be encouraged. That's relative. I want to read a passage to you out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is, at least in my estimation, the most famous verse on prayer, on intercession, and on healing of the nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let me read it to you again. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14 if you're writing notes. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. I've never seen a time in my lifetime when there was a greater need for the healing of a nation, the healing of cities, the healing of the land. That verse has never been more in our face. And it's important that we don't become... Sorry, nobody can see you. Sorry. It happens. Just strangle that thing. Just all right. Good evening. Nice to see you. There are certain words from the Lord that are so inconvenient that they are easy to ignore or to bypass. They are so demanding that they are easy to downplay or relegate to a specific group of people other than ourselves. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Please notice, it didn't say if the sinners would stop sinning, I'll heal the land. If those in authority that are making ungodly decisions that are infecting the mindsets of the people, if they would repent, then I'll heal the land. He didn't say that. He said, if my people, those who are called by my name. The interesting thing about this particular mandate, we see it a number of times in Scripture. Nehemiah, for example, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He was a most trusted individual, man of great excellence and integrity. He would taste the king's food. I mean, you know, if people want to kill you and you have somebody tasting the food ahead of you, it's got to be somebody you trust. Yeah. And so Nehemiah was that man. And one day he came before the king and he was downcast. And you have to understand, in that particular era, kings controlled the environment around them. If anyone had a depressed look, they could be killed. At minimum, removed from position. Because they wanted nothing of that sort in their presence. Everything about their life was pleasure, was gratification, was longevity, was the blessing of their family and family line. So when Nehemiah comes in one day and he's downcast, the king says, "What's the matter?" And he knows it's a critical moment. And he just mentions the people of God were in bad shape. Jerusalem was torn down, destroyed. And then he prays. And he prays this prayer, Nehemiah does. And he asks the Lord to forgive pretend like we're Nehemiah. God, forgive us, for we have sinned. Here's the interesting thing. Nehemiah was a righteous man, but he prayed as though the sins of the people were his sins. I hear a lot of people in ministry, they talk about them and those and you all, and there's this stuff that comes out like it's your problem, not our problem. And what happens in the humility of prayer is it doesn't mean that that particular sin is my sin, but I so deeply identify in compassion with the people I'm praying for that I stand among them in prayer and I say, God, forgive us for our sins, for we have sinned against you. Intercessory prayer means basically to stand in the shoes of another and plead their case as though it was your case. We need that right now. If my people, don't wait for somebody else. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Time doesn't permit to expand much on this healing of the land, but it means the earth itself. It's not just the spiritual atmosphere. Obviously, that's there. But if you search the scripture, you'll find that creation itself groans and travails, waiting for the day when the people of God would actually find out who they are. Come into that place of purity and strength and power, and that'd be a healing of the land. We find in scripture where creation often echoes the work of the Spirit of God among his people. It mirrors. It says in Psalm 67, it talks about the people of God coming into a place of blessing, and the earth then responds and yields its produce. If you've ever seen any of the videos, they're probably on YouTube by now, the videos from Almolonga, Guatemala, a city that was a horrible agricultural region, couldn't grow anything, deeply, deeply steeped in sin. Alcoholism was rampant. It was great poverty, horrible, horrible statistics for that part of the world. And a revival hit, and they turned in repentance to the Lord. They cried out to God for forgiveness. He so healed them as a people that alcoholism just all but disappeared. Poverty was broken, and their land is now so healed. Literally, the earth is changed. Wow. It is so healed that they will have multiple crops a year. Wow. I've seen the videos and the pictures. Carrots are like this. Wow. There's universities, agricultural centers will send students down to study what happened. The point is, it's healing of the land. We need the land healed. It's not about, please hear me, it's not about getting wealthy. That's always included in blessing. But if that's the focus, it always turns around to bite us. It's the fact that we become productive. It's the fact that all of creation begins to cooperate in the purposes of God to fulfill the reason why we are on the planet. We are on the planet to thrive. We are on the planet to represent Jesus well. We are on the planet to glorify him and spread his love to as many people as we possibly can in our lifetime. It's if you're a musician, you are designed by God to represent him in the sound that you release into the earth. If you're a business leader, you were created by God to do things in business that would actually increase and improve the welfare of the community that you live in. Business, godly business, is not I prosper, everybody else suffers. It's that my ideas help everyone to prosper, and I prosper in the meantime. It's the healthy approach to life. It's not just this that we just make do until Jesus returns. He's actually designed life to work. And Paul described it as reigning in life in Romans 5, verse 17, I think. Reigning in life. So all of that out of this one verse about prayer If my people, don't wait for the politician to repent. If my people, don't wait for the educator to change. If my people, don't wait for the celebrity to change their mantra, their verbiage, their stuff that they speak. Don't wait for them to change. If my people would humble themselves. When we take on that political and or religious spirit, there's a lot of accusation. And I tell you, right now is the easiest time in my lifetime to start hurling accusations. And let's be honest, they're well deserved. That's why it's easy to point the finger and say, look what they've done. Save that for the voting booth. It doesn't belong in prayer. It doesn't belong in prayer. You're not the accuser. And if you do accuse, Scripture says you do not criticize the servant of another. So when I have somebody who opposes me in ministry, it's easy to pick on what they're doing wrong. But they're not my servant, they're his. And I don't have the right to use this out of which sweet water is to flow, not salty poison water, to turn and to attack and to assault. In humility, we pray. It means that we don't stand with accusation. I remember seeing somebody said they were going to pray for, somebody corrected them, or they were going to now pray for a particular political leader. And they said, all right, and I'll pray for this. And they just had all these horrible names that they used to describe him. And I thought, man, please don't ever pray for me. I don't need anyone else standing before God accusing me. You know, let the devil handle that one. You leave me alone, please. I believe there are right and wrong issues that face our nation right now. They're black and white. So don't misinterpret my next statement. Black and white issues. But in many ways, the enemy doesn't mind what position you take on an issue as long as you'll leave the character of Christ to defend it. Oftentimes, the enemy does not mind what position you and I take on a given issue, if we will leave the character of Christ to defend it. Right now, we need a visitation from God. Amen. I mean, there isn't a leader that can fix what we're facing. Changes, for sure. I'm all into voting in, you know, righteous leadership, people who fear God. I'm all over that. But we need something between elections. Elections are not our salvation. We need something in between the elections that just says we need a visitation from God. We do. And it comes from a people that will get low. Pray authentically. All right, good. Are you in Jonah, or did you get tired and quit? Jonah is just a great story. And I don't know about you, I love the Old Testament so much. One of these days, I'm going to have the courage to do a series just out of the book of Judges, just because it's so weird. You know, where they take that person, they cut this lady up into 12 pieces, put her on donkeys, and send her all over Israel. That's a great story. I mean, that's too weird to ignore. You can't skip over that when you're reading the Bible. You got to look at that and go, there's got to be something here. He wouldn't have put it in the book if there wasn't something significant here. And I'm not going to warn you ahead of time because I want to surprise you. I love the Old Testament. And Jonah's just one of those stories. And most of you are familiar with the story. He's called by the Lord to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a God called, I think it's four times, it's at least three times in the book of Jonah. God called Nineveh a great city. But it was a great city that he was going to have to judge and destroy. Now, a lot of people, especially right now, for some reason, we get so far away from biblical culture that we get offended by the concept of judgment. Adjust. He's still the judge. Just be glad the blood of Jesus covers you. He didn't quit being the judge. He's not Santa sitting on a cloud granting all our wishes. He's a righteous and holy God who has set his heart on transforming us to where we look exactly like Jesus. Mike Bickle said it best, God's judgment always comes against whatever interferes with love. If you have a cancerous growth on your hand, you want the doctor to judge it. You want him not to pacify it, not to console it, not to comfort it. You want him to cut it off. And so God's judgment is always aimed at that stuff that destroys life for the rest of humanity. All right? Thankfully, we are in this wonderful, wonderful season of grace, but we better take advantage of it because he is looking where he can extend mercy and forgiveness. Back to Jonah. He tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he tells them to announce to them judgment is coming. And Jonah doesn't want to. And so he gets in a boat, and they face this horrible storm, and all the guys on the boat realize Jonah's the problem, so they throw him overboard. A big fish comes up, eats him. He sits in the belly of a fish. I want, you know, we need to have some Hollywood producer guy go after this story. This is just too good. He's swallowed by a big fish. Spends 3 days in the belly of a big fish reviewing his life. And he repents, which is a great idea. If you find yourself in the belly of a fish and it takes you 3 days to repent, you've got issues. You've got issues. The fish pukes him up on the shore. So imagine you're sitting there with your family having a picnic on the beach. This big fish comes up, pukes out this prophet. He's got seaweed all over him. His skin is bleached from stomach acids from the fish. And he is standing there with a message. How many of you think you might want to listen to him? It's just a weird story. So he goes a day's journey into Nineveh, and he preaches, and there's this massive repentance. Two greatest revivals, in my estimation, in the Bible, one is Nineveh, the other is Ephesus in the New Testament. Extraordinary turnaround of entire cities. But the Jonah story, I actually don't want to talk to you a lot about Jonah. It's a fascinating read. I want to talk to you about Nineveh. God called Nineveh a great city, and yet it was steeped in darkness. Here's something about sinfulness. Do you understand the devil cannot create? He can only distort. Right? Give me that paper down there. Just that paper that's laying there on the, you know, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but it is now mine. All right. Thank you. All right. God created marriage. Perfect harmony. Husband and wife. There's the sexual part of marriage. There's the emotional connection. There's the partnership. There's the dreaming together. There's all this stuff. The devil can't create this. But what he can do is distort it. He can distort what exists. And he says, all right, sex can be enjoyed with other people besides your spouse. He didn't create it. He just distorted what God designed. Are you with me? All right. So when we find sin-filled cities in the world, and let me just mention a few just to illustrate. I'm not casting stones. San Francisco, New Orleans, Amsterdam, Rio de Janeiro. We can go on and on. It's not necessary. You get the point. oftentimes Christians will look at these cities with the spirit of accusation because of their sinfulness, instead of realizing they are only displaying in darkness their potential in light. God saw greatness, but they were locked in this cycle of sin. But the depth of that sin only represented the height of glory that he had purposed and called them to. San Francisco is a wonderful, beautiful city, but it is steeped in sin. Why? Because of toleration of immoral things. What's the gift? It's a gift of extraordinary mercy. But it just got perverted, got distorted. Is this making sense? So God calls it a great city, but it has to be judged because the sin is actually going to destroy all the people around it. And so the word comes and they repent. We have to stop looking at the darkness of an individual, a family line, a city, a nation, and look at what God sees in that city that would make him say, Nineveh is a great city. It's a great city. There's two or three things I want to point out, and then we'll wrap this up. I want you to look at verse 3 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of God. Look at verse 10. The men who were exceedingly afraid told him, why have you done this? They've now figured out Jonah's the problem. The men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Here's this theme that's throughout Jonah's life here. Let me talk to you about the presence of God. First of all, Colossians 1 says, in him, all things consist. Another way to say it is, in him, all things are held together. This stage, every molecule is held in place by the actual presence of God. If his presence were to be completely removed from something, it would completely disintegrate. Because he is the glue, if you will, that holds everything in its place. Pantheists have it wrong because they think the tree is God. The part that is correct, and please don't misinterpret me on this one, the part that is correct is the presence of God does hold that tree together, but the tree itself is not God, right? So if I'm an unbeliever and the presence of God actually holds my being together, then we'd have to say when I'm born again and the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in me, makes my body his temple, then there's an increased dimension or measure of the presence. Are you following me? He holds me together, but I turn my life over to Jesus. He is my Lord, he's my Savior. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes, takes up residence in me. Now, as a person in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, when I get together with two or three of you, he said, I will be there in the midst. So what? But he's already here. He's in me. He's already in you. So when we come together and he says, I'm there in the midst, he's trying to let us know there is yet another dimension of presence that I'm going to gift you with. Do you understand? There's measures, layers, dimensions of presence. And it's easy to become it's easy to live in ignorance of the more that's available. All right, so he's in me. I receive Christ, takes up residence in me. We meet together. He's there in the midst. And then he says that when we give him praise, he establishes his throne upon the praises of his people. So here's a group of people that are together in his name. He's already there. And yet when we move into that time of worship, there's a manifest presence of God that increases a display. I'm saying all of that because it says here that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of God. In one sense, you can't get away from him because he's everywhere. But that's not what this is pointing to. It's not trying to make a theological statement that God doesn't exist in some place. He's trying to let us know a secret. There is a measure of presence that you can only discover when you're doing what you were assigned to do. He was fleeing from that. Distance himself from that. Why? Because if you can distance yourself from that, you don't have the conviction, the torment, the pain of the result of your own disobedience. We were born for certain assignments. I don't mean that rigidly. You know, you're working at Macy's and you should be working at Penny's. I'm not doing that. But I'm just saying we were born with design. A designer designed us with purpose. And it says of David, King David says that in the time when kings go to war, he was at home on his rooftop, saw a nude woman bathing, and that's where he fell into adultery and eventually murder. When you're not standing in the assignment you were designed for, you'll end up facing temptations you don't have grace for. The safest place to be is in the middle of the assignment God gave you. You say, well, it's so scary. No, it's scarier outside. It's way scarier outside. And so Jonah here is actually fleeing from the presence of the Lord because there are, when you're doing what you were designed for, it's almost like you're wired to tap into this presence of God, this glory of God, in ways that you can't doing anything else. When you're doing what you were born to do, you suddenly have access, exposure, I don't know the right language. You suddenly are in a place to discover him in ways you couldn't anywhere else. Wow. I had a physical challenge here a few years ago. And I remember reading, I would read the 23rd Psalm probably almost every day, if not every day for months, among other things. But I would go through that Psalm over and over and over again. And I remember when that whole season was over, I didn't come out with heavy revelation. I came out with an awareness of something. I was hoping to have great truths, you know. It wasn't that. It was... He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. And I came to this realization. There are measures of presence that you can't find anywhere but in the valley of the shadow of death. You've got to capture your moments. We don't always control our moments. Seldom do we control our moments. Here's another one. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Table, intimate fellowship. It's nourishment. It's strength. It's communion. It's partnership. It's friendship. It's belonging. And it's in the middle of enemies. And there are some of you that are so preoccupied with the enemies that are against you that you haven't yet discovered he's sitting right across the table for the deepest, richest fellowship you've ever known in your life. The way I like to put it is every time you say, I love you to Jesus, God broadcasts it over the devil's intercom. All right, let's wrap this up. Let me take you to one more point that I think is worthwhile. It's in chapter 3. So Jonah, chapter 3. You guys all right? Everybody still alive? Before you were saved, you were just leaving the house to go out. So this is an early night here. All right. Sorry to remind you of that. Yeah, we had, years ago, we had one of our elders say, he used to tell people, the only reason we bring our watch to church is to see if the date changed. So, sorry if that struck terror in your heart. Chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Even the animals, man, this is awesome. This is like, this guy got serious. Let man, beast be covered with sackcloth. So your cattle are wearing sackcloth. And cry mightily to God. Look carefully here. Cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from his violence that is in his hand. Interesting comparison. That word mightily there, different translations. I forget New American Standard. I was looking at it this morning. The word mightily here actually means violence, violently. And so he says, cry in a violent manner to God and let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence of his own hands. Wow. Let's just say you've got a very shy, timid, brand new mother. She's got this beautiful little baby. She's very shy, very sensitive. And she's got her pride and joy down at the shopping mall. She's got her stroller. And she looks in the window, and some man runs over, takes the stroller, and starts running off with the child. How many of you think she would still be shy? No. She turns into the mother bear. She is ready to rip somebody to pieces if she can get a hold of them. Because something got released in her where she is no longer measuring her response according to the values of people or society or culture or any. Nobody is going to define that response. That response is going to be the most honest response she has maybe ever had in her entire life. There'll be a scream. She will run. She will do everything she possibly can to apprehend and get that child back. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. This word mightily, prayer, it's that kind of response to God that is not measured according to culture. It is the most honest prayer you've ever prayed in your life. So here we have something unusual happen. In verse 5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed and they proclaimed a fast. In verse 6, it says, then word came to the king. This is a phenomenon. Throughout Israel's history, when they had a righteous king, they behaved righteously. When they had an idolatrous, evil king, they became an idolatrous people. They almost always followed their leaders. In this move of God, and I want to use this as a prophetic peace. In this move of God, it started with the people. And it created such a tidal wave, such an eruption of intercession in this city that was about to face the judgment of God, that it finally rippled all the way to the top of their culture and society. And the king himself heard of it. And when he heard of it, there was such a release of power over this man that he fell instantly into conviction. And he began to move with the intercessions of his own people. And they then brought about transformation. And when Jonah walked through Nineveh and announced the judgment of God was coming, he did not say, if you don't repent, judgment is coming. There was no option of repentance. All there was pronouncement of judgment. It was the people who this is important to see, in a word on judgment, what did they see? They saw that maybe this God who gave them a warning is also merciful. They weren't offended at the word of judgment. They were brought to humility and responded to this fact that he's a merciful God. He's a caring Father. He's a forgiving God. And it wasn't even in the sermon that they heard. It wasn't even in the message that brought them to a place of transformation. They just heard judgment was coming. They instantly hit the dirt, so to speak, and they began to confess their sins. And their cry was so honest and so raw that it rippled up the chain of command until the king himself was apprehended with a word of conviction. Something was stirring my heart this morning. I want to end with this. We know that Jesus, we quote this verse a lot, Jesus only said what he heard his Father say, only did what he saw his Father do. I've read through history. I've read some of the sermons that the great revivalists preached. I've seen on some of the, what century is this? 21? So 20th century. I've been traveling. I thought it was time travel for a moment, but it wasn't. I'm new here. I've even seen video or recordings of some of the great revivals and their messages. Now, please don't be offended by this, but what they said wasn't that profound. Now, some obviously were. The books, I've read some that... I mean, it's amazing, but it's not... It's not what I expected. It's like, oh, we learned that when I was 18. The point isn't to cast a shadow of doubt on their insight, is to make me hungry that you can say the simplest thing under the power of God and it changes a life. Because these guys would stand, Wesley would stand in a field and would preach. What he said, I'm sure, was profound and perfect for the day. But what I want you to hear is, his voice was released, driven by the voice of the Lord. That there's record of the voice itself actually carrying on over great pieces of land where people would hear miles away this gospel being preached with such power that it would echo through the canyons and through the trees. And the whole point is the ache in our heart that when we say truth, that God himself would put his hand on it and he would cause it to go far beyond what our intelligence has would earn. That if you could say, I was in a, I was like 19 years old. I'm sitting in a house. We had a place in Reading called the Salt House. It was just a drop-in center for people on drugs and all that stuff. And so it was just crazy town. It was, seemed like every demonized person, you know, in California would came through that house. You know, it was. We had a guy try to push the piano out the front window one day. And I mean, just weird stuff. So just trust me, weird stuff. So I'm sitting there one day, and this guy who came in, it was intellectual, and he was extremely demonized. And he loved to debate because he was intelligent enough to pretty much whoop me real good with any debate on any subject. And I sat there. He came in, sat down. We got a bunch of us sitting in a room. And I felt the Spirit of God come upon me. I just became aware of God. And I said to him, now remember, this guy, you just make any comment and he's got an argument and he's going to win. And I looked at him and I said, Jesus really loves you. Simple? Yeah. Simple. He was first time in my life in our interaction through this season. First time I'd ever seen him silent. Because the simplest phrase came with the breath of God and it forced him to think. it felt so good on my end that I repeated it. And then he had an argument. Because the second time I said it, I said it. I will never forget that as long as I live. It's like a slow motion film. Bill, when you did this, my hand was on it. When you did the exact same thing 30 seconds later, trying to get the same result, I wasn't doing it that time. It's caused me to hunger. I really am not impressed with any of my ideas. All I really want is yours. And I want to speak when you speak, and I want to be silent when you're silent. I want to take bold action when it's important, and I want to stand still when it's important. All I want to know is your heart, your presence, your countenance, your voice. All I want to do is represent you well. So why don't you stand? We'll wrap this up. All right, you made it through the strangest teaching on Jonah you've heard in your life, but we survived it. We survived it. John Wesley would be in these fields. Thousands and thousands of people would show up. People way in the back would be trying to see him. They'd climb trees to get a better view. And he was known for preaching with such power that people would just fall over. So they warned the people in the trees, don't climb the trees. Don't climb the trees. And the people would ignore it. They'd climb the tree anyway. And then the power of God would be released. They'd fall out of the trees. They did, really. They'd fall out of trees. And people say, well, why did God knock them out of the trees? He didn't knock them out of the trees. He just showed up. They couldn't hang on. I mean, let's get hungry. Let's humble ourselves and pray, and let's get hungry, because some of you are going to stand in the courts of kings, and you're not going to have a profound word, but you'll have a word he's breathing. He's breathing on. And when you say it, it'll pierce the hearts, and it'll change. It'll change the heart of a king.
That's good, Bill. That's good.
Change the heart of a leader. So here's all I know to do. You humble yourself and pray. And you cry out, God, I want to represent you well. I don't pray this in fear. I pray this in passion. I want to represent you well. I want to say what you're saying. I don't want to add to it. I want to be silent when you're silent. And then you get in a public place and you trust him to direct you. If it worked well, you give him all the praise. If it didn't work well, get back into the quiet place. God, I really want to represent you well. So, Father, I pray this prayer over us, that as a body of believers, friends that have gathered from all over for this great week, I'm asking, heighten our ability to hear and give us the courage to do what you're doing, say what you're saying, and the courage to be silent, even though we have great ideas. Help us to know the movements of your presence, the movements of your heart, because we truly want to establish kingdom in the earth, that you would be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Amen.